started in Brothers Fowles starting or indulging in the WLO inquiry, but I've never carried it through to the finish.
There was
a tremendous lot of, you've got all sorts of people, a lot of them seem to come from Parnadura, who bought up villagers' claims and came up at WLO inquiry, that sort of thing.
In effect, these people were what you would call land brokers.
Yes, I think so. They probably intended to sell at a profit to
any speculator.
Companies. Well, I don't know what your different what.
Any proctors who were doing this sort of thing.
I think there must have been, but I can't recall. I can't recall specific instances.
What about European planters? Did they generally go through brokers or do it themselves?
I think I can only remember one man who was supposed to do a lot of it. I can't actually recall his name.
Thornhill, Clark.
It was a B.A. Thornhill. Yes, he, I think, had a lot to do with it, and I think he probably worked through brokers. Dealings with him in any inquiry.
What about the NCP? I should presume that there wouldn't have been many speculators.
The settlement there was very, very easy.
Gore? Speculators?
I did inspection there too. You've got to remember that. No, I don't think there are many speculators. They're not usually outside the Candian province. There wasn't this type of speculation. Chiefly because there wasn't the tradition that the chain of land belonged to the villagers, sort of thing. Whereas that was definitely recognized by in Candian times, and you got the temple villages and the Gomas and various types of things where the king had made over his own rights to of rental in the shape of services, I suppose it was, to a local chieftain or to a temple or something like that. But that didn't exist in the in the non-Candian maritime provinces. And
did you work in Kegol?
No, I can't remember any village in Kegol at all.
Bringing up this question of Chena land, say in Sabaragamo there was a man, Mr. X, a villager, X, who had cultivated a plot of Chena, a tract of Chena, on and off for about 30, 40 years. And it was Chena, not garden. How could he prove his title to that land? Were there such cases? Or was it done by the village?
Well, are we talking now of in the Candian province?
Yes.
Well, I think I was trying to remember that the land in the village would divide into certain areas belonging to different clans, so to speak, and within that clan there must have been some sort of
division,
system of allocation among the among the members of the clan from year to year. Very probably they worked communally and dealt with a tract at a time and that sort of thing. So that generally speaking it was, I mean, when you're at the WLO inquiry you'd practically have the whole village there. And the existence, at any rate, of a man's claim will probably be a matter of general agreement. The extent of it, or the particular share he was entitled to, might be a matter of a certain amount of dispute. But I think that... in general, with the whole village concerned, people sort of rather didn't try it on too much because they knew that there'd be somebody to give them away. And well, of course, you've got disputes like okay, so you ask a man why he was claiming double the share that his brother did, and you get the reply, oh, but I had two fathers. in case of polyandry, alleged, and everything, and the question of marriage in Binor and Diga give rise to disputes. Well,
did you find that many of the speculators tended to buy up lands from bigger married women? In effect,
I can't say I was conscious of it. I won't say it wasn't so, but it never occurred to me that they specialized in that way.
And what about?
I think if I were a speculator, that's one way I should certainly go to work. But I can't say it ever struck me.
Would you describe this settlement work as, in many ways, a gigantic partition case? Settling various claims, apportioning, divided up?
I suppose there would be tremendous similarities, but I can't say it occurred to me to describe it that way before, but there must be enormous similarities.
Mm-hmm. Another question. Now these speculators, did you find that speculators or planters had bought up land much to the detriment of the whole village? Leaving them with very little pasture or very little chena, insufficient pasture and insufficient chena.
I don't think I did, but then you'd where the speculation was mainly Sabrugamuwa.
Mm-hmm.
And there, of course, the question of availability of pasture or chena would be one that would probably be dealt with by the GA so that it but I think that the...
Wouldn't the settlement officer take that into consideration when he was settling, that is under the WO, LO?
I don't think so at the stage I remember. I mean, the position then was that assuming that the village had a justifiable claim if he sold his claim.
You did nothing about it?
Well, you couldn't do anything about it. I mean,
but if he had sold it for a song?
Well, I don't think... Villager's not such a fool as all that. I don't think he very often sold it for a song. Of course, you couldn't always go by the amount on the deeds, because the consideration on the deed might be inflated. And one heard stories of the purchaser going to a notary's office and before the notary handing over the vendor an envelope and saying, "Here, hold this for me," and having previously shown the notary that it contained notes, and when the notary would duly certify that the consideration had been paid over in his presence, probably in good faith, but as soon as they got back, got outside the office, the purchaser might say, "Oh, by the way, hand me back that envelope I gave you to hold." There were stories of that kind, how much truth there was in them. They were certainly improved on a lot.
If I may put a sort of test case, say A, B, C and D were villagers who owned the land, a plot of land, and A sold this plot, say 20 acres or
yes,
hypothetically,
say
to
share in the pangu, I think.
That's right, pangu to a planter, what would you do? Would you give part of it to the planter and the rest to the brothers?
I'm not sure that I've got your point. The pangua belongs to A, B, and C.
And D.
And A sells what?
The whole pangua.
The whole pangua. Oh, no. You'd only recognize A's proper share for the purposes of
settlement.
And you probably disregard extents, because, as I say, the speculator purchaser would
magnify,
tend to go on the safe side when he was getting the deed made out. And I think I've never really checked it, but my impression is that if you were to total the extents and shares of all the deeds that came up in a WLO inquiry, you'd find that they would come to 10 times the extent, or something like that, the extent
of the land available.
Of the land existing in the village. But as I say, I've never. Oh, you had to cut down the extents claimed enormously. But again, you must remember that I did very little work in Serb. I occasionally did an odd occasion, and I sat in when watched other people doing it and that sort of thing, so that my impressions may be unreliable.
Would it be correct to say that settlement officers consciously set out to protect the villagers from speculators?
Yes, I think that was the general atmosphere. One did what one could to at the same time, one's job was to settle, and you have a reference to court.
Yes.
It meant very much rule of thumb in sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you at times, where you felt they had been unscrupulous or for some other reason, did you at times deliberately try to teach the speculator a lesson or twist his tail a bit?
Well, I think I can remember one case of smacking on. I think where that came in would be, I mean, supposing that to get a settlement you had to I can't remember which village was. It was in southern Sabragamo. I can remember that the man in question was had planted the whole thing up with rubber, and I found that, forget how old it was, well, it can't have been much over
25.
It can't have been over 5 years.
Oh, I see.
Or it wouldn't have been on the WLO inquiry.
Yes.
That's another point. Very often these speculators burnt their fingers. The villagers weren't altogether fools, you know.
Yes.
They sometimes hear of somebody, he's tried to buy up land, and somebody who knew he had no title at all would sell him a non-existent title and claim, or invent the names of chainers which didn't, or a pungo which didn't exist. It wasn't all on one side.
And
there, in that particular, I think, case, I can't remember names or details, but I do remember that the fact that he had planted up the land and genuinely imagined that he was, thought he was entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more or less the land had to be settled on him, and he was in possession. But I do remember that as it was more than his in extent than his share would have worked out at, that I charged him definitely a much higher price than, and in fact, generally speaking, the outside speculator or the company or something like that had to pay a much bigger price. I can't at this date remember
regarding
all the prices there were.
Burning their fingers, did you find sometimes, like in the case of A, B and C and D, after A sold the whole share, B waited a few years and then went to the planter and said, well, I'm a co-owner with you and I want my share of the planted crop, so to speak. And in effect,
I can't say I came across that, but I won't say it didn't happen. It sounds quite a possibility.
Another thing, you got this political criticism of the Land Settlement Department and of the British by many politicians, Correas, you might remember them.
Yes.
Now, I was wondering whether some of these politicians, some of them, not all, were themselves speculators and planters.
Well, I don't think I should like to answer that question. I can't say that I couldn't. Anyway, I couldn't. Supposing I said yes, and you asked me, well, give me an example. I can't recall any particular name that I should like to.
No, but in effect, no. Your answer has been yes.
What?
In effect, your answer has been yes, because.
No, I don't think I meant it as strongly as that. Mm. I think it might have been so, but I'm not prepared to assert it.
Yes, I see. What about conflicts between village land and plantation land? Did you come across any? claim in the same land? Will I just say?
No, I don't think I did. Because, you may, well, it would be land that was already planted.
Well, it may not have been 25
I can't remember any disputes of that type. If it was planted in rubber and in the boundary, within the boundary of the estate and that sort of thing, I don't think so. And anyway, they'd be very small lots and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. Encroachments, usually they were from the title plans and that sort of.
When settlement officers in your time were making
probably, I dare say, in a government agent might have to deal with problems of that sort. But I never worked in Savo.
In Sabergamo?
As a revenue officer, or in fact, I think anywhere in the canyon. I was away in Jaffna, in Kandy for a month or so.
When settlement officers were settling the land, did they always keep a few charity acres up their sleeve for genuinely landless villagers? Or widows and so forth?
I can't really remember that. I rather think they might have done probably when did in the MCP, but when I'm not certain.
Oh, that's all right. Coming to, how proficient were you in Sinhalese, if I may ask?
I should say not very good, but enough to make myself generally understood. I don't think I found any difficulties in the Sinhalese district. I was extremely inefficient in Tamil, because I just learned Tamil sufficient to pass the examination in about 1925, and then from then on till 1944, I was working in Sinhalese districts entirely, and had largely forgotten the Tamil, what such Tamil as I had. I think a certain amount of it came back to me, but I certainly wasn't fluent. Mind you, at that date, even the educated Sinhalese, for instance, in one thing in the Land Settlement Department, a clerk translating a Sinhalese deed, in nine cases out of ten, but as often as not, would pass the deed over to a peon. The peon would read to him from the Sinhalese script with which he'd lost familiarity, and he would make his translation or extract from the peon's vocal version, so that one could lose
touch.
No,
you made the point about the interpreters being very useful. What I was getting at was whether the interpreters themselves could be got at by other people.
Well, they could, I think. When, to some extent, one was was always rather one was conscious that they could be got at, and was
yes, I see.
Well, and they accepted it, and one was very careful to to check any recommendations or anything. That, but I don't think I can remember any actual case of the of suspicion arising.
To raise an administrative criticism
arising after the event. I mean,
oh, I see.
That that it had happened.
Wasn't it true that GAs and AGAs complained that the LSD took time to release villagers and that it greatly hindered them?
I should think it probably was true, because as I say, when you had 300 or 400 or more claimants to deal with, and possibly 1,000 lots of land, and one awkward claimant could hold up the settlement of the whole village.
Yes.
Or one lot even might prevent you making your final report, and a reference to court might take.
Yes.
I can't remember the period, the stop period it did take, but I should think probably a year or a couple of years. The Attorney General's Department could let you know about that. And I dare say that it would be, that I can quite see that. I think that something might have been done to, you know, to to give some sort of, have some interim system of the settlement department releasing lots or big lots that it quite definitely had was sure it had settled, but, pending the final report.
How did it actually hinder AGA? How would it hinder AGA?
Well, I should think that there'd be any... Well, one thing is that there might be a demand for land there and it couldn't be put up for sale except by the settlement officer. And the settlement officer wouldn't put lands up for sale except for purposes, largely for purposes of settlement. But this is speculation. I can't recollect any actual instances coming within my experience. I dare say other people may have had.
Following this political criticism of land policy, there was a land commission which brought about certain changes in land settlement procedure, etc. That was in 1927. Can you recall that?
No, I don't think I can. And the commission was sitting in 27.
Right. Or it passed its report, I think, in 27.
Well, I can't well, I went home on leave in early 29, and I don't think I can recollect any. It would probably, I suppose, take a certain period for the government to consider its report and decide what they were going to do about it and issue instructions and that sort of thing. And I can't recollect have any recollection of them becoming effective before I left the department. Actually, compared with a lot of people, my service in the department was very short. Well, now, have you got much more? Because
what time do you have lunch?
Well, we have lunch about 12:30, which is now.
End of interview.